In this season of Lent, we've been focusing on spiritual growth and different faith practices we can engage in to deepen and strengthen our relationship with God. Today, our theme is growing in grace, and we hear what I think is one of the key stories that demonstrates the graciousness of Jesus. We have the story from John 8 of a woman caught in adultery, which I can't help but just comment and say, it takes two, I believe. Why the woman is pulled and put before the community and the man is not even discussed is worth noting, and we should have that conversation another day. But I want to focus on the grace that Jesus demonstrates to this woman, this unnamed woman, who's brought before the whole community and is really the elders and those who are all stirred up about her care less about her and what she has done, because it says they brought her forth to ask Jesus the question in order to test and to trick him. It's not even about her. They say our law says that a woman caught in adultery should be stoned to death. What do you say? And one of those most memorable lines from Jesus: those of you without sin, cast the first stone. And they all leave, starting with the elders. And I think that's important to note, that those who have the wisdom could see and had lived a long life could see most clearly that they could not throw the stone based on what Jesus said. Those without sin, go ahead and throw. Afterwards, when she realizes that all of those who were gathered in such a frenzy had left, Jesus says, has no one left to condemn you? No, sir. Go. Be on your way and sin no more. Part of what it means to receive or to have grace is that we are guilty. And yet, God does not punish us. We're given a reprieve. We're given mercy. And so in that regard, my sermon title for today, Growing in Grace, is really a misnomer. If it's a gift and God is the only one who can give it to us, then really it's not about growing in having grace, because here's a secret: you already have it. It's been given to you. That's why Jesus dies on the cross. It's once and forever. No one can take it from you. But why I say growing in grace is most of us have a hard time receiving grace. And also, I think many of us can struggle in giving grace to each other. And so part of what we need to just continually remind ourselves when it comes to our relationship with God is understanding the nature of God's grace. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with what you have done or left undone. It is completely about what Christ does for us. It is a gift. And so this woman receives this very public, tangible sign of God's grace when she's given a reprieve. And I can only imagine that in that moment, receiving that gift, her life is changed. Jesus says, go and sin no more. And I think what he doesn't mean is that your life will be perfect. What he means is this is a new beginning, a new opportunity to walk a different path. That same invitation is given to us. Growing in grace means reorienting ourselves toward a life-giving, gracious future. So the first challenge is learning to better receive grace, first from God, but also from each other. So two things that I think are, again, in tension or maybe even contradictory that I think we need to grow into to really begin to receive grace. Number one is we need to have a sense of humility. And number two, worthiness. So if you start with humility, the idea of in order to receive God's grace, we have to acknowledge that we need it, that we are not perfect, and we're far from perfect. In fact, on our own, we're a hot mess, and we need to receive grace, yes, from the divine, but also from each other, because we hurt each other, we hurt the ones we love, we make mistakes, we have bad judgment. So we need humility. I stand before you as one who falls short every day. If I think I've got my life and everything figured out, why would I ever need the gift of grace? But in tension with that is this idea of worthiness. And what I mean by that is you are worth it. One of the biggest lies Satan could ever tell you is that you don't matter, or that you're not worthy of receiving love. We internalize that message, whether we're cognizant of it or not, all the time. And when we don't think we're worthy of love, we tend to inflict that on other people. It's hard to give love if you can't receive it. So you are worthy of receiving this gift of grace, not because of you, but because what Jesus says about you, that you are a beloved child of God. You are worthy, not on your own merit, but on what God has done. And that's what God says about all people. Every person is worthy. So when we receive grace, when we learn to receive it well, because I've asked this so many times, and children get this better than adults. When I've asked kids, would you rather receive or give a gift? Most kids, if they're honest, will say, I'd like to receive one. Or most adults would say, I prefer to give one. Now, there's some exceptions to that, right? But learning to receive and to be grateful is a gift. And if we can learn to better receive grace, to receive a gift that we don't earn, we don't deserve, that has nothing to do with us, it's just free. When we learn to receive it, when we say, yeah, I don't deserve it, but I'm still worthy of it, that changes how we think of ourselves. Because our whole world is all about comparing ourselves to others, measuring our success and our failures. God is not impressed with you. God says you are loved, and that's all that matters. So we need to learn to grow in how we receive grace. The woman caught in adultery is given a reprieve. She's given mercy. She's guilty, just like us. There's no question that she goes, oh, well, no, thank you. This is a life-changing moment and life-saving moment for her to receive that from Jesus, and then to go and live your life transformed and in a new way is powerful. But we also need to learn to better give grace, because the same trap that we fall into when we think, oh, it's about worth and deserve, if we get caught into that mindset where some people deserve and some people don't, we are really missing the mark. To give grace to someone else should flow out of our own grateful hearts for what Christ has done for us. When we realize we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, we get it as a gift, our heart should pour out. And two practices here would simply be empathy and kindness. Growing in grace and giving grace requires empathy, that we can see where someone else is coming from, that you can, in a certain way, walk in their shoes, or at least seek to understand what they're going through, because maybe you've been through something like it. Giving grace to someone means, wow, that mom with her kids in public who are completely out of control, I wonder, she's probably having a terrible day. This might be her kids on a good day. Who knows? But we have that judgment, right? The opposite of empathy is judgment, and we're very good at judging others. Instead, growing in grace means extending empathy. And if we can't have empathy, and by that I just simply mean that we can seek to understand what someone's going through, then maybe you can extend kindness. I have no idea what's happening in this situation, but instead of judging or trying to maybe in our mind figure out why they're wrong, maybe we can just say, they're doing their best. How can I, with a simple act of kindness, be a blessing to this person? Think of, and I know many of you probably do these things all the time, so this isn't new, it's just a reminder to grow in our capacity to receive grace and know that you are worth what Christ has done, and yet we're humble, and to give it, to have acts of empathy and kindness in the world that lift people up rather than tear them down. If there is more empathy and kindness, more humility in our world, I think the kingdom would be getting built up in a far greater way than it is, because as I look around and I see our world, it is filled with division and strife and judgment and nastiness and a mean spirit. We're people of faith. You are children of God. You are beloved. You are worthy of grace, and it has been given to you. You have it. Live your life by extending grace and love and mercy in whatever way, to whomever God sends to you. And in doing so, we will be God's people in the world. Amen.